Hello everyone, welcome to The Eating Enigma, 90 Days to Transforming Your Unhealthy Relationship with Food. This web class is called Everything That You Need to Know About Nutrition in Less Than 60 Minutes. I'm Maria. I'm a nutritionist and a behavior specialist who helps people overcome an unhealthy relationship with food. From food addiction, binge eating, compulsive eating, emotional eating, to intake restriction. I'm very excited to be sharing this class today because what you'll be learning today will begin to peel away the layers of inaccurate beliefs around food and nutrition that you've been conditioned to subscribe to since you were just a small child. First, let me start by telling you a little bit about my own journey and how this eye-opening class and this program came to be. After many years filled with unsuccessful attempts at my own health and wellness goals, I realized that the world had a very big problem, and this is one that I intended to solve. What many of us don't realize is this: we all have one thing in common. While we may all treasure a variety of conscious goals that are valuable to each of us as individuals, from an evolutionary standpoint, we have some intrinsic goals that we all mutually share. The most profitable goal at the top of that list is our personal health and well-being. Each and every one of us is designed in such a way that our highest value is our survival. We are biologically wired to be constantly scanning our environment for any threat to our well-being, and the innate wisdom within all of us is magnificently making continuous adjustment to sustain a balanced state of homeostasis. Homeostasis is a tendency of an organism to auto-regulate and maintain their internal environment in a stable state, and that stable state is the condition of optimal functioning for the organism. Around the clock, our brains are receiving input from either inside our bodies or from the environment around us. And then we respond either consciously or more often subconsciously with an adaptation to counterbalance. Internal alterations are termed physiology and external modifications are dubbed behavior. As children of nature, we place a high value on health and vitality. We all want to be fitter and healthier. And while there's no shortage of healthy cookbooks, exercise programs, and diets to follow, the statistics show that we are getting sicker and fatter. This shift towards ill health is happening despite our intrinsic desires, and it goes against the laws of nature itself. With such vast amounts of nutritional information readily available at our disposal, the basic principles to maintain a wholesome diet are no big secret these days. We can all identify that a salad is healthy and a donut is not, but most can't say that they choose the salad over the donut 100% of the time, even though intentional bodily harm goes against our natural instincts and our evolutionary design. Think about it like this for a moment. Even the mere thought of slicing your own skin with a knife or piercing a needle in your eye would give you an immediate visceral reaction that makes it almost unbearable to even imagine. But somehow, slow suicide through destructive lifestyle choices doesn't have the same effect. Have you ever considered why it is that you have a strong instinctual aversion to harming yourself or your body, but these instincts seem to fall short when it comes to unhealthy junk foods and other harmful man-made stimulants? When you consider all of this, it reveals that the real problem is not that we can't distinguish between healthy and unhealthy options, nor is it a lack of desire to want to be healthy, but rather why we find it so difficult to do what we set out to do and what we are designed to do. I've made it my mission to provide the world with those answers. I've dedicated my career to learning what the food industry has known for a very long time and to understanding exactly what can be done to protect ourselves. I've written a book titled The Eating Enigma, Unlocking the Gates to a Secret Garden, Removing Emotional Weeds and Cultivating Change. This book dives deep into the topic of food addictions and emotional eating. And I've further created this program, The Eating Enigma, 90 Days to Transforming Your Unhealthy Relationship with Food. It's a revolutionary, science-based program designed to help you achieve optimum health. Today, you're going to find out some of the answers to questions that you may have been asking yourself for a very long time, including why it is that there's so much opposing nutritional advice out there, and how you can determine the meal plan that's truly right for you, how you can identify superfoods along with what food fads to avoid. You will uncover some of the most common mistakes that most people make on the road to wellness, and you will learn about the 8 types of hunger. Why have I chosen to share this information with you today? Because I know that by understanding just a few key concepts and applying them to your life can drastically improve your relationship with food forever. What I'm about to share with you is just a taste of the online program. But after you hear this information, you'll wonder how you ever made your dietary decisions without it. The end goal with all my clients is obtaining holistic health. What is holistic health, you may ask? Holistic health is spiritual empowerment while working to reduce any toxicities or deficiencies in either the way that you move or lack of movement, in the way that we eat or what we ingest, and in our line of thinking and consequently our emotions. Holistic health encompasses all of those things. It's a journey of self-discovery and self-love, not the narcissistic self-love some of you may be imagining. No, it's loving yourself, your body, and the events that shape the person that you are. It's vital to understand that it doesn't matter what you learn about nutrition, if you don't also learn to love yourself, you'll never give the body what it needs. There is an innate connection between and among the mind, body, and nature that we are all born with, but we've been trained since infancy to reject. Instead, we're conditioned to silence our natural instincts, and rather, we're trained to believe that birthdays mean cake, and Christmas means pie, and with Easter should come chocolate, and that dinner's not complete without dessert. We're bombarded with subliminal messages and advertisements, we're forced to stand in impulse aisles. All of these things have us spending the day testing our willpower. Scientists have discovered that willpower is just like a muscle. The more you use it, the stronger it can get. But the more you use it, the quicker it fatigues. It has a limit. And once willpower fatigues, you will be left facing your seductress with no defense. A clue to why you're more likely to binge eat at the end of your day when your willpower has depleted. In a world where we can't avoid being exposed to so many unhealthy options, we have to take our health and our habits in our own hands. The trick and the only way out of the vicious cycle of trying and failing is to change your personal paradigm that you live in so you no longer lust after the things that take years from your life. When you reprogram the subconscious mind so that your desires, your beliefs, and your behaviors are all in alignment with your conscious health and wellness goals, your success increases substantially, and that is what I'm here to help you do. First, let me help you by sharing with you how you can determine what goals are right for you, how you can start to work to create a meal plan that's ideal for your body without having to rely on systems that increase anxiety around mealtime, like counting calories, macros, and restrictive dieting. Today, you're going to learn some of the first steps that you can take to empower yourself so you're no longer confused by all the opposing nutritional advice out there. With all the opposing nutritional advice out there, some of you may be confused at who to believe, but I'm here to tell you that you don't have to put your holistic health into the hands of an outside authority. Let me start you on the road to empowerment now by explaining why there's so much opposing nutritional advice out there and how you can filter through it. There's a few reasons why this is happening. First of all, one of the reasons why there's so much conflicting nutritional information out there is for the same reason there's so many theories on how big the universe is and what's actually in it. Our personal universe that we call our body and the interplay between it and all of nature is so miraculous and seems to be just as complex and as vast as the universe itself. The human brain is the most complex object in the known universe, and much of how it works still remains a mystery. In terms of what there is to know, we've yet to scratch the surface, and when you're trying to understand something that's that much more intelligent than our conscious mind, there is a lot of room for error. I believe the general public believes that the experts know all there is to know, which just isn't the case. Now, don't get me wrong. The experts do know a substantial amount more than the average person, but nobody has all of the answers. As of right now, we have a limited understanding on how the body works in all of its glory. This limited sphere of awareness is leading to a problem where we can't always establish accurate patterns. Let me explain a little by telling you more about pattern recognition. At this time, humans are thought to be the world's best pattern-producing machines. Pattern recognition represents a deep instinct to establish order of the world. We have this innate drive to organize chaos so that we can impose rules and order, thus ensuring that our world becomes more survivable. You can imagine how useful this tool would have been to our ancestors and still very much is for us today. Our ability to recognize patterns helps us discern between the facial features of our loved ones and that of a tiger looking in the distance. Our brains possess unique features, including intelligence, language, imagination, invention, and belief in the imaginary, which all impact our ability to establish true patterns. In addition, the capacity to accurately detect a pattern is limited to our sphere of awareness. Here is an example of what I mean. If it weren't for our ability to travel to and to capture detailed images of the moon, it would be easy to mistake the rock formations on its surface for some mystical face. But space technology has allowed us to raise our level of awareness so that we can have a more precise explanation for that face that appears on the moon, and we no longer mistake those craters for that of a mystical creature. Our brains just love a good riddle. In fact, if it finds no familiar pattern, it attempts to make one up. the more diffuse the stimulus, the easier it would be to mistake it for an incorrect pattern. When we take anecdotal evidence and apply it across the board, we end up with inaccurate patterns. We know that the placebo effect accounts for 30% of all clearing up of symptoms. If you don't already understand this phenomena, let me explain. We all have a pharmacy of chemicals and hormones in our body. The placebo effect is when you believe in a diet or a treatment to such an extent that the mind instructs the body to release what it needs to reduce symptoms, which often results in healing. These are real and measurable changes that are happening. While it's truly remarkable that the mind and body can do this, it makes it a little bit difficult when we are trying to work out cause and effect. Furthermore, despite incredible advancements that researchers are making on a daily basis, much of this research has yet to be done on humans. While studies involving rats can give us some great insights, these studies don't actually prove anything when it comes to humans. Imagine if we were to determine the best meal plan for chickens based on research done on cows, or if we were to judge the appropriate meal plan for a cow based on the research done on wolves. What's true for one species of animal is not true for all species. To complicate matters more, what's true for one gender is not automatically true for the other. The same goes for ethnicity, geographical location, activity level, age, beliefs, and a number of other variables that can come into play. This is why it's so vital for each of us to recondition ourselves so that we can identify what's right for our own body. Now, couple these limitations that I've just mentioned with what I believe is heavily contributing to the problem of why there's so much conflicting nutritional advice out there, and that's what I refer to as the pendulum swing. The pendulum swing happens when we glorify one nutrient while we simultaneously vilify another nutrient. And in doing that, we cause an environment where the nutrient that we glorify becomes served to us in toxic or unnatural doses. For example, for many years, fat was thought of as the nutritional villain. We had low-fat foods or fat-free foods. Now, when you reject something like that, you also have to increase your intake of something else. And so, consequently, we increased our intake of carbohydrates, which also led to an increased intake of sugar. Now, both fat and carbohydrate are actually nutrients. Neither of them are inherently bad or good, but it's the amount that we're taking them in and the form that we're taking them that can cause a problem. So instead of turning our attention to the processing of these foods and how we're refining them and tampering with these foods, we're actually turning our attention towards the nutrients themselves and blaming the nutrients. Any nutrient that is good for you can be bad for you if it's abused or if it's served in its unnatural state. So when you do this over a long period of time, it may produce symptoms in the body. Then some fad diet comes along where we swing the pendulum in the other direction. And as a result of reducing the unhealthy dose or form of the first nutrient, the symptoms may often clear up. And we assume that it was the nutrient itself that is to blame, instead of recognizing that it's the form that we were eating it in and the fact that we were allowing the food industry to tamper with it, and that's what was leading to the problem. And so as we swing the pendulum in the other direction, we glorify yet another nutrient. The food industry gets on that because they make a lot of money selling us the things that we buy into. And then all of these new foods with unnatural levels of refined and processed forms of another nutrient are served to us, and then we go around and around in a vicious spiral. As a result, we can no longer identify what's causing these undesirable symptoms in the body because we are bombarded with so many refined and processed foods. So as the pendulum swung in the favor of carbohydrates, we began eating products with excessive amounts of refined grains and refined sugars. All of a sudden, everything in the carbohydrate family was to blame for all of our ailments. Gluten, fructose, glucose, starches, and a long list of other properties were served to us in their unnatural forms, which led to a host of undesirable symptoms in the body. As a result, now some people can't even stomach the smallest amount of these. And for many of those people, they spend enormous amounts of time, energy, and money trying to determine the long list of ingredients that's causing them so much trouble. What these people fail to recognize is if they reestablish the innate connection among mind, body, and food, they could streamline this process and end their struggle with unhealthy food forever. Have you ever asked yourself why it is that tribes from diverse regions of the world who eat an unprocessed diet of whatever food that's locally available to them are among those that live the longest? These tribes tend to have little to no incidence of the diseases that plague the developing countries, despite the fact that each of these tribes' diet have little in common with each other. What's the one thing these civilizations have in common? It has nothing to do with any particular macro or micronutrient, nor is it connected to any particular superfood. All of these healthy civilizations have a relatively low calorie intake. But wait. Before you jump on the calorie counting bandwagon, research shows that food restriction, deprivation, and dieting, and food addiction, eating disorders, and binge eating are in fact linked. Besides the fact that counting calories heavily contributes to an unhealthy relationship with food, it's proven to be ineffective for long-term weight loss or weight management. Several studies have shown that a 30% reduction in calorie intake will just cause the body to make up for this deficit with a 30% reduction in energy expenditure, so slowing down other metabolic processes to make up for this difference. This includes slowing down metabolism, turning down core body temperature, slowing heart rate, as well as reducing general feeling of alertness, and can even negatively influence moods, among many other things. So you see, your health and your vitality isn't solely dependent on how many calories you eat, because not all calories are metabolized in the same way by our bodies, nor do we respond the same way to all calories. What's more important is the quality or the source these calories are coming from. So whether you are consuming whole foods naturally occurring in nature versus refined, processed, and engineered food-like products. What the food industry has known for a long time now and has cleverly used to their advantage is that highly palatable foods spur us to unconsciously eat up to 44% more calories in one sitting. And the brain takes notice of that highly rewarding food, increasing our chances of eating it regularly even if we aren't hungry. When it comes to what foods we eat and how much of these foods make their way into our mouths and eventually onto our midsections, we aren't as in control as we've been led to believe. While it may sound convincing that all you need is a little willpower to stick to your goals, willpower is a conscious process that has a limit. Sure, it can have some influence on our decisions at mealtime, but for the most part, hunger and satiation are subconscious processes that are heavily regulated by the primitive part of our brains. Think of it like this: breathing is most often regulated subconsciously. Now you do have the ability to consciously control it to some extent, but within a limit. If you hold your breath for too long, eventually the unconscious mind will override and you'll be forced to take a big breath. You can imagine how quickly you'd tire if you constantly were trying to manage each and every breath that you took. When you try and control your eating habits in the same infuriating way, we quickly exhaust our willpower and the unconscious mind eventually gets its way. Highly palatable foods can alter the way the brain responds to these foods, not only when that food is sitting right in front of us, but they can also change the way that we behave towards food in general. What qualifies as a highly palatable food that triggers our innate desire to keep wanting more? Refined and processed foods with unnatural high levels of fat, carbohydrate, or protein, along with any food that tastes excessively sweet, salty, or umami flavor, which is a savory flavor. We are designed to seek out these nutrients because we need them to survive, but we need them as they naturally occur in nature. Otherwise, they pose a threat. Now, in nature, it's very difficult to be poisoned because toxic or poisonous things were easy to identify. Typically, in nature, poisonous plant foods are bitter, and our taste buds are extremely sensitive to bitter tastes. We are quickly put off by bitter things. It's one of the reasons why we've evolved to prefer a sweet taste. That and the fact that sweet foods are often packed with energy. We have a built-in system that can identify which foods to eat and which foods to avoid. For example, let's take an apple. If it begins to rot and you look at that apple, you don't feel like eating it. You're completely put off by the thought of it. If you were to bite into it, you might even find it revolting. And the same goes for underripe foods. But when the apple is perfectly ripe and all of the cells are intact and you bite into it and it's crisp and juicy, you almost can't get enough of it. Now we're faced with a problem. The food industry knows what our brain likes, and they are producing engineered, semi-edible food-like substances that trick our brain into believing we want them. They wrap these foods in bright colored packages because we are attracted to bright colors. Why? Because in nature, color means nutrients, and including a wide spectrum of color in your diet ensures a healthy intake of nutrients. Then they label these packages with words that further fool us into believing that they are real food. They use words like natural or real fruit flavor. Let me make things easy for you. If you're reading words on a plastic or cardboard package, then that's a good indicator that you're not eating real food. The package of a food is very important. Mother Nature, when serving us food, has packed it in a perfect package. When you eat whole food, or what I call real food, it has everything you need to metabolize the food in the food itself. When you eat refined food, many of the nutrients you need to digest the food are missing from the food, so in order to metabolize it, those nutrients have to be stolen from your body. When you eat real food, the fiber in the food slows down the rate the sugar is released in your bloodstream, and so you don't get that dangerous rise in blood sugar. Imbalanced blood sugar leads to a host of undesirable effects in the body, including some of the most impossible to resist food cravings, something we'll get much more into in this program. But let me briefly explain now why balanced blood sugar is so vital to our well-being and how it can impact your dietary decisions. Your brain is the primary consumer of glucose in your body. At only 2% of your body weight, it consumes about 25% of your daily intake of glucose. The brain is the most demanding organ of your body. During fasting or starvation, all of the organs in your body can shrink in size, except for your brain. The brain doesn't have an energy storing system. It relies on your blood for that. When your blood glucose levels get low, you start to experience symptoms: crankiness, inability to concentrate, ravenous sweet or carbohydrate cravings. Low blood sugar is a dangerous state. Even a few grams below or above normal is considered an extremely dangerous emergency state. So hypoglycemia, which is too little sugar, and hyperglycemia, which is too much sugar. The amount of sugar we typically need in our blood at all times is about a teaspoon, about 5 grams, but everybody's different. When you eat foods that are stripped of their fiber, you risk a dangerous rise in blood sugar. Most people don't realize this, but in order to save you from a dire situation, your pancreas pumps out insulin, which is also known as the fat-storing stress hormone. And insulin stores that excessive glucose as fat in the body. But in this process, insulin can take too much sugar, which would bring you right back to where you started, low blood sugar, and consequently, you get more food cravings. Before you know it, you spend the entire day either in an energy spike or a low. Eating refined processed foods that are typically stripped of their fiber is a huge culprit that leads to this mess. If this sounds like something you struggle with, not to worry, we're going to get into it in the program. I'll teach you all about how you can avoid these dangerous spikes and these lows, so you can maintain healthy, balanced blood sugar levels for the entire day. But for now, let's get back to discussing how clever Mother Nature is in the way she packages our food. The beneficial fiber that ensures healthy digestion also makes us feel full, so we never eat an undesirable amount. In addition, the foods have just the right water content that we need to properly digest it. When you eat real food, it works in harmony with the body and with the mind. Sure, it's the case for some that some real foods are no longer tolerated by the body, mostly because of problems with digestion and assimilation. But those problems often arise because of an unhealthy relationship with food. All of this we're going to get into in the program. Instead of listening to other people and what they think you should be eating and how many times a day you should eat, you can trust your own body. There is a built-in system that tells you when to eat. It's called hunger. Let me explain how hunger works. When the stomach is empty and you need to meet real nutritional requirements, you release ghrelin. Ghrelin is also known as the hunger hormone, and it helps regulate appetite. It stimulates the production of the neurochemical dopamine. Dopamine governs our attention, and it spurs us to turn our attention towards the prospect of finding food, and it makes eating feel highly pleasurable. The hungrier we become, the harder it is to concentrate on any activity other than eating, and the more pleasurable food does become when we do eat it. Once we've eaten and the stomach lining begins to stretch, ghrelin secretion comes to a halt and an alternate hormone, leptin, is released instead. Leptin is released by our fat cells. It travels to our brain and signals us to stop eating, at which point our appetite begins to curb. Our sense of taste starts to diminish. We lose interest in food. And because leptin dulls the dopamine spike, the pleasurable sensation decreases, and thus we no longer feel the desire to eat. When something causes us to voraciously eat past this point, something has gone very wrong. Uncontrollable eating without abandon when we are no longer hungry is not a part of the natural phenomena that ensures our survival, but rather a cataclysmic force that is overpowering people in staggering numbers. These foods that spur us to eat when we're not actually hungry are delivering abundant rewards. They release unnatural levels of dopamine, endorphins, and other feel-good chemicals. Real foods don't do that. They're only pleasurable when we need them. Now, the amount of neurochemical a particular food releases can make that food addictive. So a safe level of dopamine being released in the brain is believed to be about 100 to 300 units at a time. Anything more than that, and the dopamine receptors begin to downregulate, which makes the substance addictive because you need more of it to get the same pleasurable feeling. And then real foods become no longer pleasurable. The immediacy of the reward can also pose a threat. When we eat foods in a refined state without its fiber, we are serving to this problem. These engineered foods created by the food industry are designed to be highly pleasurable to bring us to the bliss point. The bliss point is the amount of and combinations of ingredients such as sugar, salt, and fat that optimizes palatability. They contain excessive unnatural levels of fat, sugar, or salt so that we eat them even when we're not hungry. Any cue associated with them will ignite a craving to eat them. You may already know this, but these foods are designed to be extremely addictive, and getting off them can be easier said than done, which is why I've created this program and why I've dedicated my career to helping people try and reverse this problem. In the meantime, what you can do is work to better identify the difference between real food and everything outside of that. So instead of looking at each individual nutrient as the problem, you need to expand your level of awareness and identify that there is only real food and semi-edible food-like substances. There is no need to count calories or macros. If Mother Nature wanted you to count calories, she would have put the numbers on the outside of the food. It doesn't matter what nutrients are in the walnut that makes them so good for our brain. All you have to do is see a walnut and see that it looks like a brain. And you know that it's good for the brain. It isn't important what the exact sodium content in celery is that makes it so ideal for good bone health. All you need to do is see that it looks like a bone and you know what it's good for. It doesn't matter what nutrients are in the avocado that make them so ideal for male reproductive health. All you have to do is see two avocados hanging on a tree and you can recognize exactly what they're good for. There is no need to spend all of your time trying to stay up to date with superfood trends. Let me put an end to that struggle by explaining what a superfood is and how you can identify them. By definition, a superfood is any nutrient-rich food that is especially good for your health. It's as simple as that. How do you identify nutrient-rich foods? Color. Including a wide spectrum of real foods that are abundant in a variety of colors is all you need to do to have a superfood-rich diet. This is why we see the colors that we do. It's all the colors that we need to eat. You can start by taking some of your power back now by really asking yourself, why am I eating these things? Is it because I feel good after I eat them? Or is it because the food industry told me it's okay? Am I actually hungry right now? For many people, until they rebalance the body, it's very difficult for them to determine the difference between real hunger and the need for nourishment versus other false hungers. There are 8 types of hunger. The first one is real hunger, when your stomach is empty and it's time to refuel. Second is imbalanced blood sugar hunger. Third is nutritional hunger, when we heavily restrict our calories and our food intake to try and drop weight. When we are missing vital nutrients, we get nutritional hunger. Improper digestion can also lead to this problem as well. This is one of the reasons why proper digestion and assimilation of nutrients is so important and why I include that in this program. Now, 4 is hormonal hunger. This kind of hunger can be a result of an unhealthy relationship with food, including poor quality diet, perpetual food dieting, yo-yo dieting, among many other things. But hormonal hunger and nutritional hunger can trigger a voracious appetite and can cause us to crave more foods even though we've just eaten, and can cause us to binge eat after a meal. 5, lacking variety hunger. When we aren't getting the right variety of foods or we don't follow a seasonal meal plan, when we eat the same foods over and over again in the same routine. We are designed to like variety because variety ensures we get a whole heap of nutrients from our diet. 6, gut bacteria hunger. Now, if 30 or 40 years ago you suggested that single-celled organisms may be controlling your thoughts and your food choices, you would have been laughed at. But this is a growing area of research, and scientists have discovered that gut bacteria may be playing a major role in our food choices. We know that gut bacteria can interfere with our hormones and chemicals. They have a direct route from the gut to the brain through the vagus nerve, and they can produce over 20 different hormones and chemicals. One of the hormones they can interfere with is leptin, which I mentioned earlier. Leptin travels to the brain and signals to the brain when we are full and when we should stop eating. Healthy gut bacteria is more important to your health than most people think, and some of your food choices may be heavily influenced by these little critters. 7. Emotional hunger. When we try to use food to stimulate the senses, so we turn our attention away from the undesirable feelings we're having inside. Ask yourself, am I eating this food because I feel an emotion or because I want to be distracted from a feeling inside? Make the distinction between hunger and nourishment versus misery and self-soothing. 8. Environmentally triggered hunger. Let me briefly explain environmentally triggered hunger. By the time we reach 35, most, if not all, of the things that we do are subconscious patterns or routines that ultimately lead to some kind of reward. The reward fulfills one of our core needs. The more rewarding a goal is, the more likely the brain is to store it as a routine or a habit. So, the more dopamine a particular goal releases, the more you go after it. In some instances, it can be that the reward no longer is pleasurable or actually becomes harmful to us, but if we repeated it enough times and at one time it was highly rewarding, it becomes a subconscious pattern and we go after it anyway. Some of these patterns can be quick and simple, like brushing your teeth or your eating patterns, and other routines can be much more complex and happen over a greater length of time. For example, the patterns you repeat in your romantic relationships or the patterns you follow over the course of a year. Nonetheless, almost everything we do is a series of subconscious routines that are triggered by some kind of environmental cue. So the cue can be anything from an emotion, a group of individuals, a place, a smell, a taste, a certain time of day. It can be almost anything, really. But we're visual animals, so visual cues are quite powerful for us. Now, sometimes it's easy for us to miss these cues on a conscious level, but they are being picked up by the subconscious mind. That's because the subconscious mind can process over 20 billion bits of environmental stimuli at any given moment, whereas as little as 40 bits of information processed by the conscious mind will cause the eyes to blink. In addition, the subconscious mind is always operating in the present moment, unlike the conscious mind, which could be lost in reverie, obsessing over the past or imaginary situations. So, while the executive brain may be off ruminating, the unconscious mind or subconscious mind is moderating all of our behaviors and routines. Each of these behaviors are initiated by some kind of environmental cue or trigger, which will cause us to perform a specific routine that leads to some kind of reward. The cue initiates a craving. And like I said, the cue can be almost anything, but visual cues are quite powerful for us. So if something releases large amounts of pleasurable chemicals, we automatically go after it. Food is not meant to be highly rewarding when we are not hungry. We are not meant to be going after it all the time. You'll find with real food, it's only rewarding when you're truly hungry and in need of food. Engineered foods are designed to be highly rewarding, triggering us to eat them when we don't want them. In this sense, they act more like a pleasurable substance or a drug than they do a food. Have you ever had it where chocolate cake was the last thing on your mind, but then you see a piece, and then it's as if your thoughts become possessed by the idea of eating it? The environmental cue, the cake, released dopamine. Dopamine governs your attention and is a neurochemical associated with learning, pleasure, and goal-seeking behavior. So this is why it's so incredibly vital to your holistic health journey that you reprogram the subconscious mind to amend all of your unwanted subconscious routines and behaviors while you work to identify and reduce or eliminate most of the cues that lead to self-sabotage for you. For those wondering how to do that, I provide a systematic approach to doing that over the course of the 90 days. You will also learn how to identify the difference between the 8 types of hunger and how to manage them effectively, so you can finally see the results that you've been longing for. Fail to reprogram the subconscious mind, then you must rely on your conscious mind to obtain your goals. But this requires a great deal of conscious effort, which is not a sustainable, healthy, nor effective approach that delivers long-term results. For most of you, This class will give you some massive aha moments, and it'll help explain why, despite a great desire, you're not reaching your health and wellness goals. If what you learned today resonates with you, then I hope you're as excited as I am to watch you progress over the course of the program. See you next week.